But still, the madness was around us, in the peacetime and in the wartime. The world is great, big madhouse. Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters all over the world. Here I am again with you, this time again in my hermitage up in the mountains, where I used to live for 5 years in the triangle of Serbia, Montenegro and Kosovo. Although Kosovo was always Serbia, and it will be. It is the heart of Serbia. No matter what people from all over the world, especially from the West, think about it. This time I came here and I'm here already 3 weeks in order to regain my spiritual strength, since there is a lot of worldly duties that I'm supposed to fulfill, and it is very hard for a monk to be engaged with the world that much as I am engaged. Although, of course, it is blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia, who is at the same time my spiritual father, but still, it is a cross that I'm carrying on my weak shoulders. Already now, it consists of giving lectures, working on radio. Recently, we are starting video studio. It is very modest beginning, of course, but Metropolitan blessed this feat as well. And again, besides that, working with people, making interviews for my radio show, and besides that, working with people, helping people, because people are listening to this and they think that I'm some kind of a saint or something, and they think that I can solve their problems. So I'm not refusing them. They're calling more and more, and I'm trying to give a consult, to give advice, how to fight and how to conquer their troubles and their problems. Mostly these are people who are mentally disturbed or who are addicts of drugs or alcohol, or gambling, or many other things. And big number of these people already visited many kinds of false healers and savers. And of course, they went to psychiatrists, to psychologists, psychoanalysts, psychotherapists, all kinds of soul savers. But unfortunately, they do not find help there. And what they do, they get hooked on psychoactive drugs, psychoactive medicines, which is the only thing that today psychiatry can offer and can give to a mental disturbed person. In the beginning, during 20th century, especially first half of 20th century, they had an illusion and they thought that they can help with the teaching of Freud and Jung, but they can't. Finally, today in 21st century, psychiatry realized it cannot help in any way through psychotherapy, through talk with people and whatever, but they can't. So the only thing with which they deal their psychoactive medicines, antipsychotics, antidepressants, tranquilizers, etc. But of course, the soul cannot be healed by chemistry. There is a great delusion among psychiatrists today. They think that these mental problems, which could be called easily spiritual problems, are there because of this balance of brain transmitters and biochemicals, which is great, great delusion. There is biochemical disbalance in the brain of a mentally disturbed people, but it is not the cause. It is only an effect of deficit of Holy Spirit, the deficit of grace of the God, God's grace, and of course attacks of demonic powers. First of all, we become extremely spiritually exhausted. We are spiritually absolutely empty, like an empty battery. And being spiritually exhausted, our spiritual immune system is weak and we cannot resist attacks of demonic powers, of the demons who are present all over us, like spiritual viruses. They are radiating all the time and they are attacking all the time and they are around us all the time, but they cannot harm us if we are spiritually strong. The same thing with these material viruses. They are all the time around us and in us. But if our immune system is strong and healthy, we are not sick or ill. So since we are extremely spiritually exhausted, we are under attack, constant attack of demons. And they can enter us and they can do a lot of harm to us, especially to our central nervous system. And then they produce this biochemical disbalance. And psychiatry noticed this, but they think that it's a primary cause. No, it's only a secondary cause. The primary cause is deficit of God's grace, of the Holy Spirit. And they are trying hard to find drugs and chemicals which can help this chemical disbalance in the brain of a certain person. But it helps only the damage, but it doesn't help the cause. And the cause is of spiritual nature. So in this way, I'm trying to help these people who are coming to me, not with my prayer or with my sanctity, with advice from my small spiritual experience and much more from experience of Holy Fathers of Holy Orthodox Church. And since I had a lot of spiritual and psychical problems when I was young, and also during my monasticism, and with God's help, I managed to overcome these problems and to heal my soul. So now I'm trying to help others, to tell them to face the problem, to fight the problem, whatever it is, depression, fear, anxiety, bad thoughts, whatever is fighting us, to face it, but not just to face it like that, because this way we can be damaged very badly, but to face it with God's help, with prayer, and with all other spiritual feats, being present in Holy Liturgy every Sunday, performing confession, fasting, prayer, and finally, as a crown, Holy Communion. And on the other hand, at our homes, to have prayer rule, which we are going to perform in the morning and in the evening every day, for at least half an hour in the morning and half an hour in the evening. So this way, recharging our spiritual batteries, and we are managing to recover spiritually and to expel demons and these evil powers. And this way, slowly, through several years, we can help ourselves and we can heal ourselves. The prayer is auto-exorcism. We do not have to go to exorcists or to some magicians. With prayer, with gospel, with Psalter, the Jesus prayer, by the prayer of the mind, the heart, we can expel demonic energies from ourselves and slowly to recover. Since I am under the attack of these demonic powers, whenever I talk to somebody who come to me for help, I become exhausted. And for my recharging, the best place when I can is my hermitage, where I used to live before I came to Montenegro and Monastery of Ostrog. So whenever I come here, I regain my strength. I pray non-stop. I'm being silent here, not seeing anybody. And this way, my soul strengthens. My prayer strengthens. My inner being strengthens in a spiritual way. And then I can go back to the world and continue with all those duties of mine that I'm performing in the last 4 years. And now I will go back to Monastery of Dechany, where I used to live before I came to my hermitage. Finally, I came to the last period in Dechany in Kosovo, which is actually the breakout of the war in Kosovo. I remember this period, the whole political situation was very bad, and the pressure was intense, and every day it was higher and higher. We knew that Albanians are preparing, and they are actually very well prepared for the war and for the secession of Kosovo. They wanted to take over Kosovo and to become independent of Serbia, which they tried for 3 centuries already. It started with Turks 3 centuries ago, after the first big exodus of Serbs towards north. Turks were extremely enraged, but they didn't want to riot Serbs on Kosovo themselves. They gave it to Albanians, who never lived there, who lived back there by the seaside or up in the mountains, and they were always looking for to come down into the beautiful Kosovo and Metohija Valley. So finally, Turks gave them this opportunity, and they, for the first time 3 centuries ago, they came down from the mountains into the valley and started to molest Serbian people protected by Turks. Turks gave them freedom to do with Serbs whatever they want. But not only with Serbs, but with Greeks and Bulgars and all those Orthodox Christians who used to live in this area at that time. So finally, after 3 centuries, they received this opportunity from the United States of America in the first place and Western Europe together. Because today, Western Europe is just a servant of America, and they dance as Americans play. So we knew for all those events, and we in the monastery were informed that the war is very close. So finally, 1999, we remember one day early in the morning, the first shooting was heard on Kosovo, right next to our monastery. As a matter of fact, in the very close vicinity, 500 meters from the walls of our monastery, the first shooting broke out. It was a vehicle of electric company who were driving somewhere up the river Bistrica, which flows next to our monastery, because they heard that there was something was wrong with the electric installations over there. So they went to fix it. And on their way there, they were ambushed by Albanian soldiers, and they shot on the van. And the van was all pierced by bullets, and few of those employees of electric company were dead. As a matter of fact, some of them were Albanians. But those Albanian warriors, they didn't care, because they wanted chaos. They wanted mess in Kosovo, and they wanted turbulence, so that Serbs will take arms, and then the war starts. So this way, they can have an excuse in front of the world that Serbs are those who are molesting them, so they have to fight for their freedom. And that's how it happened. And I heard that shooting that morning very well, like all of us. And it was a very terrible feeling, because you see that the war is starting. I was hoping that with the war in Croatia and Bosnia and Herzegovina, everything will be over. And I was hoping it is not going to come to Kosovo. But unfortunately, it did. And that morning I have realized it really happens. So what will happen with the whole Kosovo, with our monastery and with us? So it was a very bad feeling. Not so much fear, but feeling that you're not protected. Feeling that everything can happen. And feeling of immense hatred of those Albanians towards Serbs in Kosovo. Immense hatred and the colossal cosmic evil which is overshadowing Kosovo. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. So finally we have realized that the war started, and every day we were receiving news and informations what is going on around our monastery and farther. All over the Kosovo. The bloody, terrible war started like any other war, which is terrible, bloody and disastrous. Of course, we were monks and more or less we were not that interested what's going on. Although it was impossible not to think what's going to happen and not to be informed that terrible tragedy is going on around us. But in the same way, it was a very strange feeling that our inner being, our inner monastic being, was strengthening this way. The monk deep inside us was becoming more and more mature, sober, and strong in his decision to continue to be a monk and to live spiritual life. Because we knew since the day we have left the world and came to the monastery that everything is passable, everything passes, everything vanishes, everything diminishes, everything is temporary, and the only goal of our life was eternity, kingdom of heaven. And of course we were aware that in the world there is a lot of bad things, hatred, lack of love, and this world is going towards final disaster. And that's why we have left this world, not because we hated it, but because we have realized the futility of it. And the real life, the real reality, which was a spiritual one, which was more real than this tangible reality. That's why we have left this world and went and became monks. So when this bloody war happened, it didn't disturb us that much as it should seem to be. No, it just confirmed our opinion that this world is full of evil, and that this evil was now culminating through this war. So we just noticed and confirmed in ourselves that this madness is just continuing to go on. In the peacetime, it went through different ways, and during the war, this madness was going on through another different way. But still, the madness was around us in the peacetime and in the wartime. The world is great, big madhouse. And this initial stage of the war, it was bad feeling because people were dying. And not only dying, but dying in a terrible ways. But still, our abbot, Theodosius, told us, brothers and fathers, you know what is going on around us. They're fighting and they're killing each other. And we know what's going on. But besides that, we have to keep on in our monastic duties. We have to continue in our obediences, in our private prayer rule, in ourselves, and in the church services. We are going to lock our monastery gates, and we will continue in our monastic spiritual duties like nothing happens outside. And he was very resolute when he was saying this, and with a lot of inner strength, he presented his opinion, his feelings to us. And we were encouraged by his words, and he said to him, like it is usual in monastic, may it be blessed, Father Abbot. So he dismissed us, and we went all to our duties, to our everyday obediences, and the life went on. So as the time was passing by, the war was escalating, and we have heard for many, many tragical events and informations. Very often we heard that this acquaintance of our monastery was killed, or that one was beheaded, or that one was hanged, or the other one was burned alive, or the other one was buried alive. Terrible things. It was in these modern wars, like in any other war, there is a lot of crimes. People are becoming completely out of their minds, and their revenge and their hatred becomes so bitter that they do things which are actually without any connection with the real war. It is bloodthirsty feeling of hatred and revenge. So it was really disgusting to hear all these things. And if I'm concerned, I was trying not to listen what's going on outside. I was in my icon painting studio, closed. We had there radio, but I never turned on the radio. I was listening to my spiritual music, painting my icons, going into the church services, since I was one of the chanters, fulfilling my duties as a church singer, and I was always rushing back in my cell, running back to my cell to be close there and not to think about this mad world around me. And I was trying to forget the whole craziness and madness and insanity of the humankind on this sad planet called Earth, full of blood and mud. So the thing to be more absurd, this bloody war and this whole menace around me helped me greatly to sink more deep into the prayer, to sink more deep into the depths of my inner being, and to look there for the Creator of the universe, to talk to Him, to open my wounded heart to Him, to cry to Him, to weep in front of Him, and to ask, my God, my Christ, save my soul in this madness. I was not praying for my life, but I was just praying for my soul to be saved, even if they break into the monastery and kill us all. I was just praying to God to give me a strength not to be to show as a coward in front of younger brothers and fathers, just to be firm and resolute in my spiritual statement, not to get afraid, not to be afraid, not to show cowardice in front of other brothers of the monastery, and this way not to shake anybody else and also to lose my salvation, to endure everything until the end if the moment for confession of my faith is coming, and if the moment of the losing my life is coming soon, just to give me a strength to go through, maybe if there is going to be torture or anything else, just never to betray my loving God, Son of God Jesus Christ, the only love of my life. And being in such an agony, my prayer was never deeper in my life before that. And this facing closeness of very death and facing this immense, terrible, cosmic evil which is overshadowing our monastery and my cell and my mind and my heart, I was plunging deep into the prayer, into the meaning of life, into the mysteries of God's creation and God's plan for humankind, which we humans spoiled, to the very blood of our fellow man and our brothers, because every human being is brother to each other, because we are all sons of one God, brothers by blood and flesh and bones, only maybe with different colors, different shapes of our noses and eyes, different color of our hair and form, or our curls or straight hair. So very soon the Yugoslavian army came in big troops in Kosovo, because in the beginning there was only a police forces who were fighting against those UCK, which was the name for Liberation Army of Kosovo. So in the beginning we didn't know, Yugoslavian government and army forces, they didn't know that this war is going to break out this way. So we only had police over there, in big number though, but still nobody anticipated that such a terrible war is going to break out. And only after they have realized that the Albanian Kosovar army was absolutely prepared, and they were preparing for this final fight with Serbs. Many years before that, they had weapons, they had uniforms, they had underground shelters, corridors, bunkers. And the interesting thing is that the uniforms and arms were made in USA, which were saying for itself what was it all about and where it came from. Like all those wars in the Middle East these days, we know who is the initiator, who initiated all those wars over there, who wants instability in all those countries, because there is instability, then the good guys, Americans, are coming and they are trying to bring peace and order in order to be in power in all those countries. So it also happened with Balkan Peninsula, because Kosovo, as a Serbian land, was in the heart of Balkan Peninsula, and it was extremely important strategic point for American Empire. Basically, in the 20th century, with all these wars, everything actually started with Kosovo, and then it spread all over, Middle East, Ukraine, and who knows where else. So when the finally Yugoslavian army came, it finally became a real war with cannons, big weapons, and one part of those Yugoslavian army troops, they settled not very far from our monastery. It was a hill nearby, maybe a kilometer, and it was a very important strategic point, because from that point, it was a high point, they could survey all around Albanian troops, and they could survey Albanian movements, Albanian villages, and everything which was very important for them. So they started to bomb with cannons all over. So the gun shooting became something normal for us. Sometimes early in the morning when we were in the church, in the early morning church service, about 4 o'clock in the morning when it was still dark outside, we couldn't distinguish whether these are thunders
or cannon shooting. And in these early mornings, we could feel that the floor of the church, stone floor of the church, was shaking. And to us it became so, we get used to it. So finally we couldn't distinguish this roar, this booming, whether it was cannons or thunders in the sky, lightning. And we even didn't pay attention anymore. We just concentrated on prayer. But of course, prayer for the whole world to come to their senses and to stop this madness, to stop blood shedding, blood spilling, killing, hatred. We prayed to the Lord, O Lord, stop this madness. Bring back lost peace. Bring back sanity to this lost world. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. So during this war, which lasted for about 1 year, not too long, but very bloody, very terrible, we saw many armies coming into our monastery. Police forces, regular army, irregular army formations, criminals, mad people. Of course, the gates of our monastery were open because we didn't close them yet completely. But most of the time, I was not present there, in the middle of the court of our monastery. Sometimes the soldiers and the warriors would come there, come for the church service, pray to God. But some of them were like just kind of criminals who came to this war to steal, to rob, kill, to satisfy their bloodthirsty hearts and sick minds. And they pretended to be like some kind of brave warriors, some kind of defenders of Serbian land. But they were just bums and criminals and a bunch of terrible people that I couldn't see. Of course, they were really, sometimes they would come real patriots who came to Kosovo to defend our land and our people who lived there from centuries ago, much before Albanians came to this land, much before Turks came to this land, much before that Islam came to this land. During those times, in this land lived Serbs, Greeks, Bulgars, and few Albanians who were Christians. And in Kosovo, wherever you look, you're going to see monasteries or ruins of monasteries and churches or foundations of monasteries and churches belonging to Serbian Orthodox Church, nothing else. And those were the signs to whom this land belongs. Every village, every road, every river, every forest, every hill had a Serbian name, Slavic name. Everything was titled by Serbian words and names. It was Serbian land, it was Serbian Holy Land, it was Serbian Jerusalem. Britons, British people, they gave to the Jews back their land after the Second World War. And they did good, they did well, because Jerusalem belongs to Jews. And Kosovo, Serbian Jerusalem, belongs to Serbs. But the rulers of this world, with Britons and Americans on the first place, have different measurements for different people. There is no justice. And I remember those warriors, those real warriors, those real patriots, who didn't come to Kosovo to drink the blood of Albanians and to rape Albanian girls and to steal Albanian property, but to defend Serbian land and Serbian people. It was really very touchy to see these people who were honest and who came there from all over the world, mostly from Serbian lands, of course, who came there to even to lose their lives for the holy Serbian Jerusalem, for the holy Serbian land, Kosovo. And since those were times that we were just coming out of communist period, many of them were not baptized. So they were coming to our monastery to get baptized. And they were saying to us, most likely, or very possibly, we can get killed. So we want to die as a baptized Orthodox Christians. So we baptized them. We never encouraged them to fight, to kill, to defend the land by itself. We were just saying to them, take care of your souls. This is war. Do not become criminal. Do not become war criminals. Do not revenge. Never torture. Never kill if you do not have to. Just fight for your homeland. Defend. And we were never inspiring them for anything terrible and bloodthirsty and to war crime. But unfortunately, Serbian Orthodox Church in Kosovo was accused that we were inspirators of hatred among Serbs and Albanians, which is, of course, nonsense. And it was really moving and thrilling to see that people, those young men who came there, and many of them, we heard, lost their lives, but they came to be baptized first. And if they lose their lives, not to lose their souls. But still, it all smelled on death to me. The death had a specific smell all around. And those warriors with their uniforms and with their weapons and with their wide open eyes, to me they smelled like death. And I didn't like that. Some of the brothers, they thought they're some kind of brave champions or whatever. But I didn't like that. Even if I knew that they had to fight to protect our land, I couldn't be too long with them. Sometimes I would just say few words if I was forced to sit a couple of minutes with them and to say them few words about moral ethics and especially with war ethics. But then I would run away from that, and because I knew their hands were spoiled with blood, and I would run back to my cell, fall on my knees and pray to the Lord to save humanity, to save mad and sick humanity. So fighting was escalating every day. And after several months, the fightings approached the very village next to our monastery. So we could hear very close to our monastery gunfighting, gun booming. And very often the bullets were falling down in the yard of the monastery, in the courtyard of the monastery. And sometimes pieces of bombs and grenades, which would explode around the monastery, would fly over the walls of the monastery and would fall down into the courtyard. Very often they were still hot and spinning and hitting the walls. So very often it was very dangerous to be outside because some of us could be killed or wounded. So by the middle of that war year, the abbot told us, and he gave his blessing and order, not for anybody not to be outside of the buildings and not to stay close to the windows, because the bullet or the piece of granite could hit and could go through the window and hit some of us. So it was, we finally realized it is a real dangerous war and we can be hurt or even killed. But by God's providence, nobody was hurt. We were collecting pieces of metal and bullets and collecting them into one big metal basket, but nobody was hurt. And it was a specific miracle, because very often it was hitting all over. And since sometimes we were actually forced to be outside to finish our duties, the bullets were stopping at those periods. And when we would go back in our buildings, the bullets started to fly around again. So really God and the immortal spirit of our protector of our monastery, Holy King Stephen of Dečani, were protecting us. And it was very visible and it was very real. We could feel this protection. And many of us were young in those terrible war months. I was not that young. I was at that time 39. But there were really a lot of young men came to our monastery to become novices and young monks. And some of them were even teenagers still. And I remember those youngsters, those young men who came to give their lives to the Lord, to put their lives in front of the legs of Jesus Christ, in front of His holy feet. I was following and I was looking at them every day, from day to day, noticing how they are maturing, how they are getting mature every day more and more. Not because they wanted to, but because they were forced, being faced with death, with insanity of hatred and of futility of this life. And these young men, some of them teenagers, became mature, sober and serious young men in 1 year. And it was so precious, even it was terrible, but you could see how war can be devastating for some personalities and improving for other. If you do not participate in madness, if you keep yourself clean from it, if you meditate and reflect on futility of life and this madness which is hysterically running around us, those young men, they became aware of futility of life and of presence of eternity right next to us, right next to every heart that was beating in our chests. And they became meek and good. And I remember our mutual relations, how they were beautiful and how they were really perfect in a human and spiritual and a monastic way. I never heard any quarrel between us. We were all together like one soul. Usually, of course, even in the monasteries, even among monks, sometimes there are sparks of misunderstanding, sometimes little hatred, sometimes little envy. But of course, monks are called and taught how to overcome this. This is spiritual combat, actually, how it is called. But during this year, nothing of this kind happened. And it is so beautiful to see how it is fulfilled, the prophecy from Psalms of David. And he said, it is so beautiful when brothers are living together. And it really happened that really like a real brothers living together. And we were brothers by blood, but not this physical blood, but by the blood from the holy chalice. We were taking communion very often during the war. And we were together having in our mouth and in our veins, in our hearts, the blood of Jesus Christ that we were taking from one holy chalice in our holy liturgies almost every day during this terrible war. And this Jesus' blood was uniting us in a such a beautiful unity, such a beautiful and strong and eternal unity for the whole eternity. And thank God for that. In those terrible moments, if a man lives by the law of the Lord, he can elevate himself above these terrible events and he can acquire the divine realities and God's grace. So during this war, I have decided to take on myself a special way of fasting. I told this to my abbot and to my spiritual father, who was bishop at that time, and I told him that during this war and on, to take on myself fasting every Friday. So not to drink or to eat anything from the Thursday afternoon until Saturday morning. So this way I wanted to deepen my prayer and my repentance, especially during this terrible war, and this way to participate in a common prayer for stopping this madness, and also for my own repentance and for cleaning of my own sins. And in this common atmosphere of terrible events and very intense emotional state of everyone of us, I have decided to take on myself this pretty severe way of fasting. In the beginning, it was very hard for me to go through this, but after a while I got used to it, although never completely, because it's not too, it was like almost two full days. So afternoon of Thursday, whole Friday, and morning of Saturday, not partaking of anything. But it gave a strength to my soul. Maybe it weakened a little bit my body, but it gave the strength to my soul and to my prayer. And I remember those prayers of mine, especially during the Friday evening, Friday night, and early Saturday mornings, when my stomach and my intestines were absolutely empty, and when I felt certain weakness in my body, but my spirit was very strong, and my spirit was soaring high, being freed from the heaviness of the flesh and bones. And for whole 5 years, during the war year, and 4 years more, I continued keep this fast. And after 5 years, I said to myself, something told me, it's enough now. So I stopped. But those 5 years were very important for me, fasting every Friday, almost two full days every week. So fasting and prayer goes together and gives birth to Christ's advent into human heart. So from now on, from this point today, when I remember those war days in Kosovo, I remember them fondly. It was terrible, but somehow it was also very lofty, very sublime, very majestic, in a spiritual way, facing with cosmic evil, but also facing immense goodness and love of the Lord, who are coming to our hearts, and He was giving consolation to our wounded souls and minds and hearts. So I thank God that He gave us strength to go through those terrible days, and we went through them, and we came out of them more strong, more sober, more spiritual, and more mature. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amphilochia. Every human being is brother to each other, because we are all sons of one God, brothers by blood and flesh and bones.